Hello and welcome back to the More From Grace with this week's Six Nations Round 3 preview. I'm joined by Ricky and Sam. How are you boys?
I'm absolutely fantastic. Good to be back.
Yeah, looking forward to this. Henry, please submit my debut. And yeah, looking forward to this week's round of fixtures.
Before we get started, if you haven't already, make sure you take a listen to our Rugby Europe Championship special with Francisco Isaac and Dave Rogers. Firstly, Ricky, what are your thoughts as we approach the halfway point in this year's Six Nations?
Well, it's been pretty much as expected. You know, Ireland have just been quite literally mauling teams. Wales have been pretty impressive for me, like their youth. I think they've picked up 3 bonus points now, and even though they haven't won a game, like they're probably doing pretty well to avoid the wooden spoon battle. Scotland, I don't know, a bit hit and miss. I think they're lacking a bit of experience in that pack, you know. And France are a bit disappointing, really. Italy, I feel we have the same discussion every year. It's like, are they going to be better than they were last year? And you just never know, do you?
I do agree. It's a weird one this year because each team sort of in their own little space. Scotland are probably as strong as they've ever been. England and Wales are sort of on a bit of a rebuild. Ireland are just continuing where they were at the World Cup, just without Johnny Sexton, but you'd never notice. Italy, again, building. I think that's the best way of putting it. Otherwise, yeah, France have just been a bit lacklustre, but we also know that they could just turn it on at any minute. What about you, Sam? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've been sort of watching a lot of Italy, really, because I expected quite a lot from them, especially after their showing against England in the opening match. But I think it's been really difficult to unpack exactly what Italy team you're getting. And I think that, as you said, is something that has been a bit of a common theme, more or less forever. But I think it's been really difficult to unpack because playing Ireland in the last game, they were miles off it. And I thought they were actually quite poor. But I think Ireland also are going to make nearly any team look quite bad. So it was a difficult one to assess. I mean, Ireland look really strong, and to be quite honest, I can't see anyone being able to even put a dent in that side.
Definitely. Who have been players that you've really thought have stood out to you, Sam?
Slight English bias here, but I thought Ben Earl was superb against Wales. I mean, he was just absolutely everywhere, scoring, you know, off a sort of 7-man scrum, powering his way through 3 or 4 players. I mean, he was everywhere, and I think I remember the Telegraph referring to him as showing off some big boy energy. And I think that's exactly that. I'm always reluctant with Ben Earl to sort of warm to him because of my slight Sarri's sort of hate agenda. But he's actually been unreal for England. And I think he's the player so far that's been consistently showing up and is the player that's going to be the one driving this team, probably quite literally, forward through the Six Nations as they continue this sort of rebuild and reshaping of their own kind of identity under Borthwick.
I completely agree. I'm still not completely sold on Ben Earl as a number 8. I think he's solid there. I think he's great, but he's a flanker. And maybe it's my Quinn's bias, but I really want to see Alex Dombrandt given another go, given a chance to show what he can do when a game is produced around how he plays. I feel like he hasn't had that opportunity yet. Also, again, it's the Quinn's bias, but Chandler Cunningham-South, what a player. He has been unreal. I remember watching him playing for London Irish against Harlequins, and just at, must have been 18, 19 years old, absolutely monstering Alex Dombrandt, monstering the Quinn's pack. It was unreal. And now that he's at Harlequins, he's just getting stronger and stronger. I'm pretty sure he captained England under-20s last year. He's going to be a player that England are going to be building a team around. He's already being touted as the next Courtney Laws. Whether or not that's a fair statement, but it's a lot of pressure, but I think he's a player that can live up to it. Ricky, who are you looking at?
I'm going for Ireland's Jack Crowley. I think I'm going to say this every podcast I'm on. He's just been phenomenal. It's like Johnny Sexton who. He's like big boots to fill, very big boots. And it's like he's been playing for years. just the way he composes himself. I love the way he always delays the pass. It just, it's really sexy rugby, if I'm being honest. And he's like, he impressively scored his first try as a senior player last week. And I think he's going to go on to just do amazing things for Ireland.
He has been unbelievable. I can't believe almost that Johnny Sexton isn't there and you're almost not noticing it. It's such a strange position for them to be in. We thought they might drop off in the same way that France have, but it's just not been the case. They've just picked up where they've left off.
I think as well with that Ireland number 10 position is we've seen what's always been dubbed as this sort of big gap and these big boots to fill when even Ronan O'Gara, you know, pulled up and Johnny Sexton was coming in, and now with Sexton out and Jack Crowley coming in. But these guys have really not had any trouble settling in, you know, convincing with a new and a different brand of rugby. And so it looks like the Irish number 10 position is in pretty safe hands for the time being.
What do you make of his kicking, however?
What was it? You got 2 from 5 last week. He needs to work on it, but every kicker has an off day. We've seen it with Owen Farrell. We've seen it, I remember, must have been, what, 2017? Maybe, yeah, I think it was 2017. George Ford was awful off the boot. He couldn't get anything to save his life. And now he is probably the form goal kicker in the world, definitely in England. It's something that he needs to work on, but I don't think long term it's too much of a worry. So it's time to look ahead to Ireland versus Wales this weekend at just 2:15 on Saturday. Ricky, how do you think that's going to go?
Well, saw that Warren Gatland has recalled fly half Sam Costello back into the starting lineup. Interesting call. I think he didn't play too well in the first round. But I figure that it'll be, you know, it's one of those, it'll be a tough test for Wales. One they can perhaps rise to, but they're not going to win it, let's be realistic.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Sam Costello, he is a phenomenal future talent. If he can get the potential that he's showing that he could. He had a bit of a stinker, in fairness, in the first round. He wasn't at the races. He couldn't really perform against Scotland. Wales performed so much better once Ian Lloyd came on. But, you know, we saw it. He was being touted again as this future phenomenal talent when he was in the Leicester Academy. And then he went off to Wales and he's become that first choice. I like Ian Lloyd, but is he a fly half? I think it is time. Give Costello the opportunity. Sam, what are your thoughts for this weekend?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't really see Ireland giving Wales an inch, to be honest. I think they've been pretty ruthless and pretty brutal. I mean, that big statement on opening day against France was something to behold. And then going to Italy and pretty much just shutting up shop. No scores. Italy didn't really have a sniff. I think they only entered the 22 twice. You know, something ridiculous like that. And so, I mean, Wales, you can see that they're, of course, in a sort of transitory stage at the moment and trying to carve out some kind of rugby identity. And I think that is being sort of, that's playing out by these switches at fly half and Lloyd and all these players sort of moving around. So, yeah, I mean, I think Wales are going to be lucky for it not to be pretty over by half-time, I think.
I agree. I think, yeah, it's a match that Wales can sacrifice at this point. We know that Ireland will probably win the championship at this point. Maybe England will give them a good struggle. I hope so. But Wales, they're looking to build. If they can put that confidence into Costello, build that strong team, it's something that will pay off in the future.
I know Ireland aren't Scotland, but if you say that by half-time, it was quite literally the tale of two halves, wasn't it? Just a phenomenal comeback by that Welsh team, so you never know.
You never know. And one thing you do never know about is Scotland versus England, the Calcutta Cup, 4:45 on Saturday as well. It's going to be tasty. It always is. Ricky?
Well, I was just thinking, I've just seen that Manu Tuilagi and Ollie Lawrence have passed fit for the game. Whether they start, who knows, over Fraser Dingwall? What do you reckon?
You have to. As much as I want to give Fraser Dingwall a chance, I don't know if he's international gravy. he's a quality player for Northampton, but I think realistically, if everyone's fit, he's probably fourth or fifth choice for that 12 jersey. I think you've got players like Dan Kelly, Ollie Lawrence. Max Ajomo's not ahead of him, I don't think, at least in Steve Borthwick's plans. But you've got Manu Tulangi, you've got Ollie Lawrence, you've got Dan Kelly. I think they have to be ahead of him, surely.
Would you drop Henry Slade, Sam?
Well, I thought both Dingwall and Slade had a pretty subpar showing against Wales. And there's obviously, with Lawrence and Tuilagi coming back into the fray, there's still movement in that back line that's possible. I mean, I've always had concerns over Slade, but I think his form this season has been pretty unmatched, so I can't really see him being dropped anytime soon. I think it would be risky, and I think against Scotland, we've struggled the last few years. I think the fact that this game is our third game and we've been building up to it, I think that's could be something that's going to make the difference. And so, to be quite honest, I think Slade keep in, but Dingwall, I'm thinking I'm moving him down to the bench, I think.
I think also with Henry Slade, we saw what destruction he can have with a big ball carrier at 12. With him at 13, we saw that against Ireland a few years ago when England just ran route in Dublin. He's been on fire for Exeter this season. He's pretty much, I can't say single-handedly, because that Exeter team have come out from nowhere. They have no right at the start of this season to be where they are. But we've seen the quality of players with Chris Schinzer, with David Jenkins, with Henry Slade, with Emmanuel Faye-Wabosso. We've seen what quality they have, but he has been their talisman. He's been goal-kicking. He's been doing everything for them. I think against Scotland in a match like this, it's going to be gritty. We need that experience. And with a player like Ollie Lawrence or Manu Tuilagi, I think that's the way that you can really get someone like Henry Slade to flourish.
Would you say that Scotland or England are the underdogs in this one, lad?
I think Scott, because it's in Murrayfield, Scotland are favourites. But is it too big-headed of me to say I expect an England win? It'll be close, but I think it's the sort of match that England will be very disappointed if they lose.
I do wonder how Scotland are going to show up off the back of that controversial ending against France with the try that wasn't, basically. It's difficult to tell whether that's going to sort of give Scotland even more fight, or it's going to really kind of distract from what was meant to be this really impressive Six Nations sort of period. So I have to say I'm a slight cynic when it does come to England, but I can see Murrayfield sort of rocking and Scotland showing up and nicking this one.
Definitely. And finally, we have to look at France versus Italy at 3 p.m. on Sunday. How do you think that's going to go, boys?
Oh, France. They've been so lacklustre, haven't they? It's just like you feel everything's just not clicking as one, is it? It's a team that's, I don't know, World Cup just completely collapsed, and without Antoine Dupont as well. Things don't seem to be together. I obviously think France will beat Italy. Maybe this is the game where they can establish their dominance and get perhaps back into this. Well, they're not going to win it, are they? But get back into some form at least. I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
I can really see Italy making a good game of this, to be honest. I think France have looked fragile in attack. They've looked really disorganised in defence as well. And they don't seem to have this kind of magic that they've previously shown us in Six Nations and of course the World Cup recently. So I can see a real performance from Italy and them sort of laying down a marker. I don't know if I'm going to go out on a limb and say I can see Italy causing a bit of a freak upset, but maybe I will, you know, why not? I think Italy to nick this one and make some history.
I think Italy can cause an upset, but I don't necessarily think they will. I think this is a match that's very much winnable for them. They've got a squad. I think I would love to see Lewis Leiner. Again, it's the Quinn's bias. I'd love to see him start for Italy. I think he could be a player that really lights up this tournament for them and really pulls them to where perhaps they could be, perhaps where they should be. But I think France, if they can play the way that we know that they can play, then it's no contest, really. So now it's time to look at our fantasy picks. Who have you got, Sam?
Well, I'm keeping my eyes on Dan Sheehan, who I thought was unreal against Italy. I mean, he picked up 2 tries, a brace from the big man, and so I'm confident that he's going to deliver again. He looked rock solid in that front row, and he's my pick. I mean, I do have Cunningham South as my super sub because I think he's going to come on and be as destructive as ever. And I mean, he's going to, I mean, he's one that you have outlined, you have your eye on, Henry. I know you're quite fond of him. And I mean, a Dom Brandt Cunningham South sort of duo would be the stuff of
your dream. Ben Earl at 7. Oh, that's getting me going there. Ricky, who have you got?
I'm going to go with a bold one. And this is more because I've already started him for 2 and he's been very solid. It's obviously Finn Russell. I think the England rivalry is just going to spark something even better in him. I think he's going to rack up, let's say, if I put him as captain, obviously, let's say 80 points, probably around that. I don't know. Bold, he's obviously a very obvious pick, but for me, I'm going Finn.
It's a bold choice. As a proud Englishman, it's not one that I would make. I just can't back a player like Finn Russell to put off that performance that I know he has in him. I know that he's capable of, but I think it's more hope that he won't. He's got me scared. For my choice, I think with the news of Alex Mitchell's injury, him having an issue with his ACL, I think there's only one man to start for England this weekend, and it has to be Danny Kerr. He's got that experience. I think it'll be his 100th cap. It might be his 99th, but what a match that would be. I know he loves a drop goal against Scotland in the Six Nations. I think Danny Kerr could be a player that really shines this weekend. And finally, this isn't strictly Six Nations, but I know you need to get this off your chest, Ricky. Ealing Trailfinders versus Leicester. What happened?
I'm still hurting, and what, we're on Wednesday. Game was on Sunday. It's one of those you come away from the game and you think the glory, the headlines, everything. We played so well. It was a team of grit, resilience, determination, and it was a Leicester side that, had it not been for 2 unfortunate interceptions that practically led to 2 tries. And a couple of, you know, bit of sloppy knock-ons and stuff like that. That was a game where we could be going to the final. I don't know where the final's going to be.
Yeah, it's in Gloucester, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, a big game at Gloucester would have been, at Kingsland would have been fantastic, wouldn't it? But, you know what? It's not to be. The sad thing is, with the state of the Championship at the moment, there's not very much hope around, excitement around the games coming up. So, it was a really hard one to take.
Yeah, we were both there on Sunday. I remember hearing the players, hearing the staff from Ealing saying, you know, this is why we are showing that we deserve to be a team that is playing at that top table. We deserve to be there. And I think they really did show it. There was a couple of issues, as you mentioned, the interceptions, the knock-ons, and that's that 1%. That's that last little bit that really separates, you know, the cream from the milk, or whatever the saying is. It's definitely not the same. But that's the experience that they would get from playing in the Premiership. They've got a Premiership quality side. Will Goodrick-Clark and B. Yellow, they're both players that have been in and around the England age groups, in and around the England setups. I know Will Goodrick-Clark was last year. Yeah, it's a tough one, but
look at the dominance of the scrum as well.
Oh, unbelievable. Had them on toast.
Remember the first 2 scrums?
Yeah, but again, it's the execution, but that's something that you get from playing in that top table. And if Ealing could play at that level, who knows what could happen. So, thank you, Ricky. Thank you, Sam. It's been a short episode this week, but as Ricky mentioned at the start, it's a double header. It's been a pleasure having you both on. And this has been the More From Grace podcast. We hope to see you next week.